back. Hulu says it is filming a documentary on the legendary Freaknik Festival. It's called Freaknik, the Wildest Party Never Told. The documentary will share the rise and fall of the influential street party. Music producer Jermaine Dupri is working on the project. Now, there is no release date that has been set just yet, but we know this is certainly going to bring back a lot of memories, both good and bad, for people all over Atlanta.
Did y'all see Hulu is about to release a documentary about 94 Freaknik? Yes, yes. 1994 Freaknik, yes. They are about to release a documentary. I've been to several Freaknicks. 94 was one that I attended. So I'm just praying that Jesus be a fence. I'm praying that Jesus just be a big, tall privacy fence. That's my prayer. You know, I will say this. Like, when they would bring out those video cameras and start recording, I immediately removed myself from the that situation. I never, ever, ever was okay with being recorded.
This week on the Shame Free Life Podcast radio show, we're going to have a candid conversation concerning Freaknik then and Freaknik now.
About the power of you.
We can be whatever we dream.
You're locked into another episode of 15 Minutes of Shame. Each week, we'll help you rebuild your life one brick at a time by addressing real life issues from a practical and biblical perspective.
I had to believe in myself like never before.
This is the Shame Free Radio Show.
Finding a solution to become the greatest.
And now your host, minister, author, grief and trauma support specialist, Dr. Ronald Zion Roseboro.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are from coast to coast and from around the globe. You are locked inside of another installment, live and direct from the Shame Free Life Podcast radio show. I am your host, Ronald Zion, and it's a pleasure to be back yet once again. And as you already know, what we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about it, and there will be no crickets allowed. But first, we're going to take two commercial breaks, pay for this show, and then we'll be right back concerning Freaknik then and now. Have you considered continuing your education? Or do you find yourself, like so many, sidetracked by life, fear, or maybe even excuses? Well, I've come to tell you that there is absolutely no perfect time than right now. Time is ticking away. So get your degree today. Rehoboth International Bible College is an accredited university designed to meet your higher biblical education needs. Simply go to rehobothinternationalbiblecollege.com or call 866-235-0812 extension 0. You are an investment, so it is past time for you to reap the dividends. Rehoboth International Bible College. Have you ever felt alone and life is out of control? Perhaps like a sailboat at sea in the midst of a tsunami. Well, you're not alone. Here at the Shame Free Life, LLC, we offer services in trauma recovery, crisis intervention, and empowerment coaching. We operate in integrity, confidentiality, empathy, with coaching ethics. Contact us at theshamefreelife.com or email us at contact@theshamefreelife.com. You may not be responsible for your injury, but you are responsible for your healing. Let us help you rebuild your life one brick at a time, because your life begins when you say so. Yes, you may not be responsible for your injuries, but you are, we are responsible for our own inner healing. And there was a lot of injuries that took place back in the 90s, back in my day. And yes, let's go ahead and get right into it. Freaknik, then and now. As you already heard at the very top of the broadcast, that Hulu is getting ready to drop. There has not been a date set concerning the introduction of the documentary that you will be able to view again on Hulu concerning Freaknik. But we do know that Sharon Toombs, who many celebrate her as being the pioneer of Freaknik, and of course, so many coordinators in the greater ATL college scene, Clark University, Morris Brown, Spelman, Morehouse, etc., that were that spearheaded Freaknik. But we're going to jump into it and look at it and dissect this from so many different perspectives, because I think that it's a teachable moment to do so. Right. And when we talk about Freaknik, the origin of Freaknik actually began back in 83. But it gained momentum and a full explosion of velocity in the 90s. Freaknik finally ended in 1999 due to a unanimous vote of the city council and, of course, the mayor to shut it down. Now, there was a reason why in 99 they decided to shut Freaknik down. So the origin of Freaknik, it basically started out back in the early 80s, long before I was even thinking about going to any parties. I was playing video games, like most youth were. But it began in just having lunch or a picnic in the park. And from there, people brought the boom boxes out and breakdancing and just having fun. And it began to just swell. So much so that promoters begin to come in and promoting shows. And so now you have Uncle Luke and Two Live Crew, and you have Trick Daddy, you have Trina, you have Scarface and the Ghetto Boys, you have Pac and Ice Cube and an array of various rappers. And it began to explode in such a way to whereas I think it ranged from 200,000 to possibly 300,000 people in the city of Atlanta. I know because I was there. I'm not telling you what I heard, but what I know. You know, one of the things that I love about trauma recovery coaching from a biblical perspective, yes, we come from God's word, is that we're going to keep it real because even his word is real. And a lot of people will try to paint the picture of, you know, that they're just born with halos over their head. No, we were not, because each and every one of us have a past, right? And your past is not indicative of your now or your future, unless we stay stuck in that particular pattern of the past and refuse to grow up, mature. But when I look at Freaknik, and the topic once again is Freaknik then and now, because you don't really have to travel back to 1991. That was my first taste of Freaknik, and I didn't get enough. I had to go back in 1992 when they dropped the Chronic album, Snoop and Dre, and it was crazy. But you don't have to go back to the 90s to get a view of Freaknik if I'm speaking to, you know, Generation Z or Y. Because if you're 45 and up, you already know about Freaknik. But if you're under 45, then you have no clue of this concept. But Freaknik is everywhere you go. Freaknik is in the club. Freaknik is that block party that's in your neighborhood. I mean, Freaknik is everywhere now. It's not a centralized location. But the question is, why is it necessary now to bring back a documentary of what took place Now, you have a lot of people that are shook right about now. I'm talking about grandmamas now, great grandmamas. I'm talking about aunties and I'm talking about an entire sect of generation that was out there buck wilding like many of us were. Okay. And now they are afraid that you know what? They had didn't have camera phones back in those days, but we had VHS tapes. And so you had the camcorder, and there were some things that were taking place in the middle of the street, behind Magic City, behind buildings, in cars, on the street, that those camcorders captured. And so now there's a fear amongst many people that were getting freaky doing Freaknik. And it wasn't just Adina Howard back then. And so now the fear is, oh, my Lord, my God. What, as she said in the very beginning, Lord Jesus, be a privacy fence around me. Well, I'm so grateful for the blood that covers a multitude of sins. But the reality is that Freaknik took place. But the question again is, why bring back the documentary? Why even have a documentary? There's something going on with this, family. I just want us to put our thinking caps on for a moment and just think, why a documentary about this? You know, not saying that you should be or I should be engulfed in shame at all. But what is the intention and the motive for this particular documentary, as opposed to highlighting some other stories that occurred in our community that are worthy of a documentary, to bring forth self-respect, to bring forth manhood, the definition of womanhood, those kinds of things? So who's underwriting this movement? Because it is a movement, and many people are even talking about bringing Freaknik back. Now, if we were wilding out in the 90s, I can only imagine how Freaknik would be right now. Who's holding the money bag? Is this a population control move in the midst of pandemics? It would be a great opportunity for population control to release something in the city of Atlanta or wherever they decide to have Freaknik, if they bring it back again, to release an agent in the midst of you dropping it like it's hot and twerking on every corner. And now we see nothing but dead bodies on every corner. We got to think about this.
God, today.
Because the enemy is not playing games with us. See, what we did back in the 90s and got away with, truth be told, we can't do it right now and get away with at all. Because the stakes are much higher spiritually. And we have to move differently. Okay? So when I think about some of the problematic events, the problematic episodes of Freaknik, I want to run down the little list that I have, and you know, we can just adjourn. Number one, and I took my time to try to find the revenue, because I do understand that during the time of the CIAA, which was not like Freaknik in the sense that that it was just a huge party base, because the CIAA tournament, the tournament of HBCU colleges, their basketball tournament was based on basketball. However, the powers that be, and of course, you know, the corruption of the day that we're in and the lack of morality that we have, it began to now pivot into a different direction of just being parties, and it became like a Freaknik. Day parties, night parties, weekend parties, parties just a party, party near your car. You got a system? Okay, we can make this happen and get this thing popping. And so that became the reality of the day for CIAA. which became an extension of its predecessor, grandmother, and grandfather, i.e. Freaknik. So when we talk about Freaknik and its revenue, I could not get an accurate depiction of how much money dropped, not just throughout the duration of the timeline of Freaknik from 83 to 99. But just give me 1 year. Let's talk about 91, 92, 93, or 94, or 1995. How much money was dumped into the city of Atlanta during the course of Freaknik? I couldn't get any ballpark figures or even close to it. I did get some numbers as it relates to how much money was spent during the week of CIAA, which gives us a snapshot of how much money could have been made during Freaknik. During CIAA of 2005, an estimation of $50 to $60 million in 1 week was dropped in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina. Between that Wednesday when everybody began to arrive in that city until that Sunday, we're talking about monies being spent in eateries and restaurants, of course, hotels and accommodations, airports. We're talking about parties, day parties. We're talking about alcohol. Definitely that. Malls, shopping, monies that was dumped into the economy of Charlotte, North Carolina. And many black folk walked away with nothing but a good feeling and a great memory with empty pockets.
God, today.
And so if that's nothing more than a snapshot of Freaknik, I shudder to think how much revenue was made during the timeline or in just 1 year of Freaknik. So it shows me that, yes, I do understand that when it comes to the economy of us in America, as far as black folk, the annual median household of black people at best is $10,000. The median annual income of white families is over $100,000. Yet we still find the time and we still pull our pennies together to dump $50 to $60 million in an economy just to party. So, number one, it's problematic, Freaknik, not just then, but talking about now, of how much money that we spend and we have absolutely nothing to show for it. Yet we are some of the main complainers as it relates to what we don't have and how much we should make an hour. And I understand the statistics that point to that. If we're talking about institutionalized and systematic racism from an economic place or platform to keep us marginalized. But how much of that, which is a reality, are we playing into ourselves?
God, today.
By the foolishness and the buffoonery that we are a part of, that we have nothing of substantial value to call our own. Isn't it off base for us to continue to embellish an economy that we're truly not benefiting from, as opposed to building our own economy? Something that we can do. It was proven in Rosewood. It was proven in Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and also Little Black Wall Street in Durham, North Carolina, and all over the United States, that we are capable. Those who were created in the very image of the Most High God, Yahweh himself, we are quite capable of stewarding our finances in such a way to impact not just ourselves, but generations to come.
God today.
If we choose to. Number two, that is problematic as it relates to Freaknik. Then and now. I wonder in this documentary, you know, it's going to be wild because that's what it was. I mean, I witnessed, you know, people having sex in the street, having sex in the trunk. I mean, just straight up savage, barbaric type of behavior. And most of us, if we can truly keep it real, there were so many people that went to Freaknik because, hey, listen, maybe you were sheltered by your mother or your father or grandmother. And so, you know, this was a time for you to kind of get away and to sow your wild oats. So to get away, girl, and, you know, just see what other party girls are up to. But you're really not about that life. That really ain't in your DNA. But you just want to feel a part of something because of your own sense of a low self-worth and inadequacy and inferiority as it relates to others. So you use others as a yardstick to measure what you are not, how far you have fallen, and that you need to rise to their particular statue, which you're not rising to their statue. You are actually descending to their statue. But many of us just wanted to be a part of something because of rejection and wanted to be accepted. But I wonder, in the midst of the parties and the rap shows and all the drinking and smoking and getting high and just wilding out from partner to partner to partner, are they going to document the STDs that went down?
God, today.
Are they going to document the various STDs? You left home clean, arrived in Hotlanta, blazing hot.
God, today.
When you left, tail is on fire. And I wonder, are they going to talk about that? I wonder if they're going to talk about the AIDS that popped off during the HIV epidemic that's still an epidemic. I wonder, are they going to pinpoint those statistics and begin to dial in on the reality of the rise of HIV cases, those who died from AIDS, though they got their Freaknik on in ATL. Number three, that's problematic, assaults. How about the assaults that took place? I'm talking about fights because you stepped on my Jordans, you stepped on my J's, you got a problem with me. Hey, I'm blood, I'm Crip, I'm this, I'm that. How about the sexual assaults that took place? I wonder, are they going to document those realities that many young girls, you know, girls, really, young ladies left a virgin, came back. You're no longer a virgin because your virginity, you didn't give it away. It was taken from you. I wonder, will they document those realities? That's real. And those young ladies back then, how it still impact you and affect you right now, even in your womanhood. Yes, you are a grandmother. Yes, you are a mother. Yes, you're serving in the church. Yes, you may be preaching the gospel. Yes, you may be a counselor. But every now and then you're triggered by something that happened to you on the streets of Hotlanta during the time of Freaknik. So it's going to be a documentary that's going to be very interesting, because while some are, you know, kind of shook that this documentary coming out, hey, listen, will my face be on there? And some will be traumatized, re-traumatized because of what happened to you then. Number four area that's problematic. The miseducation of healthy relationships. The miseducation of healthy relationships. What does it mean for a young man to have a healthy relationship with another young man who looks just like him? And our relationship is not based on, okay, listen, you know, you cool with me because you got the Hennessy and you cool with me because you got the weed. But if we didn't have those things, we wouldn't have anything in common and you wouldn't like me. Unhealthy socialization, fights that break out because of jealousy. Oh, this cat think, you know, he all that. Oh, dude, you ain't all that because you got that Benz. You ain't all that because you pushing the BMW, all them chicks on you. I take your car, dude. Unhealthy socialization. The miseducation of healthy relationships, how relationships should look, how relationships should feel, how relationships should be. That's the norm between men and women. Young men and young women, that it's my job to guard you, even if it means taking a life or giving a life. Because I look at you as my sister. I look at you as my aunt. I look at you as my mom. I look at you as my cousin. Even though we're not related by blood, but I want you to know I got your back with no strings attached. Healthy relationships. But oftentimes we come from environments that are unhealthy themselves.
God, today
we come out of environments that doesn't give us or don't give us the autonomy of self-discovery, and we come out of environments that are not that don't build us up but tear us down 24/7. So you're torn down emotionally and psychologically. You're told and you're shown every single day how worthless you really are. So giving up your body and giving up your goods, giving up the very sanctuary of your womb, or giving up your manhood during the time of Freaknik ain't no big thing, because I don't care about myself anyway. So the miseducation of what a healthy relationship should look like is problematic. Number five, sowing bad seeds. I mean, we talk about dropping this documentary, okay, of Freaknik. We've sown a lot of bad seeds. Now, listen, everybody has a past. You listening to me right now, you have a past. So this is not a time to try to judge somebody. Because no one can judge anyone. There's only one judge, and that is the Most High God. And he has a plan and purpose for everyone under the sun that will embrace that reality. But here's a reality. A lot of bad seeds were sown. So oftentimes we look at how bad things are, and they are bad and they are going to get worse. I wish I had a nice, cute little Bible story to tell you. But yes, it's going to get worse because we are in the last days of spiritual warfare. However, those who understand the covering and the power of God, you're going to be fine. You're going to thrive. Even in the midst of darkness, there is light for you, because you are connected to the light source, which is the Most High God himself. But the reality of bad seeds is reality. So to have Freaknik then and talking about bringing now Freaknik back again is insanity. Insanity doing this time. A Lil Nas X. Insanity this time. Concerning, I mean, just rappers are just out of their mind. And that promote a death culture of drill music. They don't know who they are. They have no sense of identity. They don't understand why they are on this planet, which points to their destiny. They have no moral compass or spiritual navigation, which denotes how to get to your destiny on time. Why? Because many of us, and me sitting right here in the Shame Free Life studio, I can say that I was one of the ones that continued to sow bad seeds back then. Because when you look at DaBaby, when you look at Lil Nas X, when you look at Uzi Vert, when you look at, you know, NBA YoungBoy, et cetera, et cetera, these are the great grandchildren of the Hot Boys, Juvenile, the Lil Wayne. They are now the children of my generation, Snoop, Dre, Boss, Ja Rule, DMX, all of these rappers, 50 Cent. And so we have to look now that the reality is that the fruit doesn't fall too far from the tree, because we were back then getting our Freaknik on, having the Lil Wayne babies, and now the Lil Wayne babies gave birth to the Lil Nas X's. And so this is where we are when we're talking about sowing bad seeds. So the next time that we look at the generation, and this generation going to hell, this generation, man, I mean, they just out of their mind. You know, I don't even want to be around them. Well, I don't know why. Because they got to that place. Oftentimes it is not, it's not negating the reality that everyone must choose and make a decision for him or herself. And you are responsible for your own decision and your own destiny. However, the seeds of influence were planted by that man and that woman that's in the mirror.
God, today.
The Freaknik babies. We birthed this. So we owe it to ourselves and we owe it to them to make a difference in their lives, to show them their value, to take them under our wings, to redirect them, to pray with them, and to break off the hold of the devil that has on here on their souls, and breaking soul ties, and to minister to them in such a way out of love and out of compassion. Why? Because we help to fashion and form this monster. So now we can be used now as instruments of healing when it comes to counseling and therapy from individuals who were traumatized in their home, traumatized in churches, traumatized in their neighborhoods, traumatized by a wicked and demonic racist system, traumatized. So we owe it to our children and grandchildren to teach them the way, as the word says. So these are my five problematic points as it relates to Freaknik then and now. And to ask you the question yet once again, before we get out of here, what is the purpose? What is the underlying motive of bringing back this documentary? And the sad part is that we are commissioned to be on a mission of being fishers of men and women who are lost in the cesspool of misdirection and debauchery, to bring them to the knowledge of themselves and the knowledge of the God who made them in his express image with a specific purpose that only they can walk out and work out. But if we still Freaknikking, if we still taking a stroll down memory, yeah, I remember in 92. Yeah, man, you remember that chick, man, that you met? Yeah, up at the club. Yeah, man, I mean, I wonder what she doing now. All of this foolishness. So here we are in our 40s or 50s, and we still taking a stroll down memory lane. If we look at this documentary as that type of time, or that type of a timetable that we can take a time capsule back to meditate on what we were doing, as opposed to shaking our head at ourselves. Man, I was out of my mind. Man, I was traumatized. Man, I acted just like a fool. I'm ashamed of myself. Man. But instead of that, we have so many in our community, if the truth be told, they still freaknicking, still twerking, still dropping it like it's hot. And here you are 40 and 50 and 60 years old, and we still doing this? This is what we doing right about now? Is this how we living? So if we truly believe in the power of therapy, if we truly believe in the power of God's transformative energy in our lives, then we will look at this documentary differently, not taking a stroll down memory lane, but just thank God for his grace and his mercy that you weren't one of the ones, you weren't not one of the statistics that I denoted in the very beginning of this five problematic pinpoints or bullet points. But also it should be a challenge to each and every one of us. I don't care if it's your family, if it's somebody that's in your community, in your neighborhood, next door neighbor, or wherever, to mentor someone, to bring them out of darkness into light, so that we won't have to worry about a freaknik then and now. Until next time. Like I always say, and I will continue to say, that your life begins when you say so. For trauma recovery coaching, go to theshamefreelife.com. And if you are interested, if you're interested in one-on-one or group coaching, everything is there, set in place. I assure you that this is what we need. This is one of the best investments that we can make in our lives, aside from our eternal existence after this planet. How we will live our lives in such a healthy form and fashion on this planet. Until next time, shalom to you.
Thank you for joining us on the Shame Free Life Radio Show. For 15 Minutes of Shame, follow us on IG and Twitter at Shame Free Life. For information on promoting your business with us, contact us at theshamefreelife@gmail.com. Until next time, your life begins when you say so.